Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
You are listening to This Is Cruise Radio Rewind.
Real reviews from real cruisers.
Welcome in. My name is Doug Parker. You're listening to Cruise Radio Rewind. And finally, some good news. The CDC has let the no-sail order expire. The cruise ship ban done. However, there is a new order in place called a conditional sailing order that cruise lines must adhere to and complete before they can actually have revenue sailings in the United States. And here to talk all about it is cruise industry analyst Stuart Chiron. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Doug, how's it going?
Good, man. So on October 30th, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control lifted the cruise ship ban for North America operators. But just because the no-sail order has expired and is now lifted, that doesn't necessarily mean cruising will resume within the next couple of weeks, right?
No. And realistically, there may be a delay for the next couple of months. There's still a tremendous amount of unpacking that needs to get done. Between the cruise industry, their suppliers, to better understand exactly what's going on here. They did not necessarily go with the healthy plan panels that were put in place by the cruise lines to try to help move this forward. There's a lot of pieces to this, call it a puzzle, which just makes it a very complex puzzle. So it's not just as easy as, okay, I mean, by no means was there a green light.
A couple of nights ago, I printed this conditional sailing order out, sat down after dinner with a highlighter, and marked through this 40-page document, and I actually wrote an article on the website. But I'm curious, what in particular stuck out to you in this 40-page document?
Well, the first thing is, I mean, it's the testing and more testing, really, that is going to, be at the forefront of what's going to realistically occur here. Now, what the cruise lines are going to have to do, or what some of them had planned to do, was run some test cruises in November once the anticipated, the order was anticipated to expire, that they could then bring in some crew some ships. So essentially those crew members would have to be quarantined and retrained, put aboard the ships. The ships would then have to be readied for passengers, do some test sailings in November, and hopefully, see some revenue sailings in December. But based on what's packed into this order, it may have taken some wind out of the sails. There may be some test sailings within November or December, Doug, but revenue cruises, it may not happen before the end of the year. It's going to be close.
With this testing, though, as we're talking about COVID testing, now the cruise lines in Europe, they're doing testing, but they're doing antigen testing. Now, all throughout this document, I think like 41 times it mentions PCR testing. So a totally different test?
Totally different test. One, it's a more expensive test. It's a more accurate test, and the results can take longer to get, depending on the equipment, and which is a whole other ball game. But I think what we would probably have to do, we'll see, are going to be shorter sailings. It might be 3, 4, and 5 night sailings for a bit. There certainly will be fewer ports which when you get into some of these other requirements would be a good thing because there's going to be a lot of testing. So diving right into that, you're going to be required to get a PCR test anywhere from 3 to 5 days prior to the cruise. Then you're going to have to get tested before getting on the ship. And then, believe it or not, from what I understand, the ports are actually going to require tests before arrival. So if you remember years ago, before, let's say, going into St. Thomas or into San Juan, cruise passengers had to submit themselves to U.S. Customs authorities in one of the showrooms in order to get some kind of a pass. It was quite cumbersome for cruise passengers to do that. Plus, I mean, everybody hated it, but it's just what was required at the time. But, you know, here, you know, people are going to have to get tested essentially before, you know, going to each port. So it's going to be quite invasive.
Of course, we have a 40-page document just chock full of regulations and benchmarks that the cruise lines have to meet. What do you think the biggest challenge is going
to
be?
Doug, they're going to have to, from my understanding, they're going to be having to test their crew before they get on the ship. They're going to have to quarantine them before they get on the ship. Then they're going to have to quarantine them on the ship. So based on what the preliminary understanding, their crew members are going to be, you know, could be quarantined for up to 28 days before seeing their, you know, and serving their first pass, you know, helping, you know, with passengers. So that's why I'm saying that the clock is it's ticking and it's going to be cumbersome. Look, to me, Doug, forward is forward.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get this, you know, let's do what we have to do to try to get this going so that pitfalls and inconveniences and issues can be identified, addressed, hopefully negotiated and adjusted to make cruising in 2021 better. Because as we progress into 2021, you know, we're then getting, we're still dealing with the year-round Caribbean season, as well as there's a lot of ships that do seasonal. Then you're could be impacting Alaska 2021. Could be an issue. And, you know, you've got people that have booked cruises, and, you know, the ships could get up there later. There could be fewer ships heading to Alaska. They want to do a better job in the Caribbean. So there could be more ships in the Caribbean. So there's all kinds of issues, but there's a great deal of cost involved with just this testing, let alone the adjustments that they have to make on board the ships.
Now, in order for cruise ships to even sail again, they're going to have to get a conditional sailing certificate, which is actually issued from the CDC. If you want to read this whole document, I should say, I have it outlined at cruiseradio.net, the homepage. It's called Explained, the CDC Conditional Sailing Order for Cruise Ships. But Stuart, I want to ask you, is it just between the cruise line and the CDC, or are more people involved?
Doug, everyone's got their hands in this one. I mean, you know, this is just the requirements for the cruise lines to be able to enter U.S. waters. So they can, you know, so if the cruise lines want to restart, let's say, from Miami and also Port Canaveral, they have to adhere to all those guidelines. But they're also going to, obviously, you know, one of many wonderful things about cruising is visiting different places. So every one of those different places would have to, you know, have their own health conditions. So a lot of them will essentially go along with whatever the CDC says, but then they also have their own requirements. I mean, that's why I said earlier about having their own test, you know, having to be tested. Each passenger is going to have to be, you know, could be tested before each and every port that the ship visits, which means realistically for a while there's going to be reduced ports because there's a lot of expense, and not all of these countries are going to adhere to the CDC's policies. They may be more stringent with the cruise lines, and there may be issues with, you know, okay, for example, with the requirements for shore excursions to be done in a bubble like they're doing in Europe. The countries in the Caribbean they may be quite against that kind of requirement. Why? Because these islands are essentially dependent on cruise passengers for their shopping, the taxi cabs, you know, taking, you know, there's a lot of companies offering tours that wouldn't, that may not be part of this bubble. And it may cause issues in certain ports, and therefore, you know, ports may say, well, if your passengers are not going to be able allowed to visit our shops, eat in our restaurants, then we don't want you to. We're not dealing with floating hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going on these cruises for fun, floating resorts, enjoyable experiences with other people. You know, we're not looking for a virtual experience. You know, you want to be able to do it in a healthy atmosphere, which, if you've been on a cruise, as you and I both have, you know, we're confident that the cruise lines will adjust and continue to offer. I mean, cruising was healthy before, and it's going to be an even healthier experience. But, you know, let's say, you know, you take a look at, you know, what's gone in Vegas when you had a couple months ago, that, you know, one of the resorts there had, you know, 548 cases.
Mm-hmm.
And people are listening to your show right now saying, oh, my God, I didn't hear that. Well, of course not. 548 cases at a hotel, but you didn't hear anything. But if one person on one ship had it, it's an international incident.
Let me go back to the cruise ports for a second, because you said something that kind of stuck out. You said we could see issues in certain ports. Would you mean like maybe the local shop owners and excursion operators, you know, doing strikes and blocking roads?
It's very possible.
Yeah. Okay. I kind of thought you were saying that.
Because, you know, these people are dependent on generating, you know, their revenue from tourism. And here you have a ship bringing in, you know, passengers who also want to, you know, go shopping and experience the restaurants and the shops and the different tours to different parts of these islands or countries in the Caribbean, and there may be serious restrictions.
So speaking,
not everybody's going to be able to benefit from it.
Along the lines of excursions and ports, we've already seen two cruise lines over in Europe boot two people off their ships because they strayed during a crash or excursion. Do you think we'll see that here?
Inevitably, there's going to be someone who's going to think they could slip away and do their own thing and get denied boarding. It's inevitable. Someone will do it. It's also a question of how well the cruise lines will be able to shape the shipboard and, you know, port experiences for cruise passengers as well. But unfortunately, it's inevitable. Someone's going to try to, you know, play the game. They'll get denied. But it is amazing how on MSC, for example, that it only took one time,
mm-hmm.
and they've had 100% compliance since
yeah.
then.
When I was reading this, I came across the passenger requirements for simulated voyages, which is saying that the cruise ship must do at least one simulated voyage for each ship, basically demonstrating the ability to be able to mitigate the risk of a virus on board. But it's saying that they want people 18 and up and to participate voluntarily. So do you think the cruise lines might be reaching out to cruisers to be test dummies?
These people could also be crew members too.
Okay, gotcha.
There's various things that could be done. I mean, look, I'm, you know, there's a lot of very excited people to be able to get out, but by no means is this going to be easy,
mm-hmm.
and it's not going to be pleasant. I mean, if you recall, you know, I could tell you that it took, on the first MSC cruise, Doug, it took 3 hours
mm-hmm.
to get on board the ship from entering the terminal, which runs contrary to, you know, from, what was it, from curb to ship in less than 10 minutes. Which was what we were trying, you know, the cruise lines were trying to do to get, you know, people as quickly on board the ship.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take a while. And the very first cruises are going to take a long time while they try to assess and, you know, deal with coming up with solutions to kind of speed things up. So, you know, we've all seen, well, you know, there's a time on our boarding pass for us to show up going forward, at least for the short term. I mean, they're not going to be kidding. People are going to need to respect those times and follow it, or you could actually have, you know, extended waiting times. But it's a process, you know, in order to get through it, in order to try to get, you know, get a better, more efficient experience for 2021. You know, we need to start dealing with all of these issues in 2020 as soon as possible, And before we've talked about certain issues, certain times where, you know, we need to pack a load of patients. If we do have the opportunity to cruise in 2020, we have to be understanding and deal with a load of patients there too.
Yeah, it sounds like no stone is going to go unturned with these simulated voyages. I mean, it has listed here embarkation and debarkation, including terminal check-in, onboard activities, including dining and entertainment, private island shore excursions. You're going to do evacuation procedures, also a simulated transfer of a positive COVID patient from crew cabins to isolation rooms, also a dry run of quarantining everyone on the cruise ship. So it seems like these simulated voyages, one, they're needed, but two, they're going to cover everything.
Yes. And what also that they're working with each of these ports to be able to do is to offload passengers that are diagnosed with having coronavirus on board and getting them off the ship so that the rest of the ship is not impacted and can continue on with the cruise.
So I mean,
there's a lot of stuff that are going on, and they've had the lines themselves, forget the CDC, the lines themselves, Doug, have been dealing with the, you know, each and every bit of the cruise experience for months. While we've had this pause, they have not been sitting idly by, just kind of waiting for this moment. I believe that the concerted efforts of the cruise industry has culminated to get us to this point. Otherwise, had they been passive, Doug, This could have gone well. This conversation you and I are having right now, trying to get on a ship in 2020, would have been, you know, trying to do it in 2021.
Just to be real here, somebody on some ship is going to get through that barrier of testing and temperature checks and what have you. So we have a positive case on a cruise ship. The industry shuts down again?
The hope is not, and that's what all these procedures are. Now, it is important to understand, Doug, that it is inevitable that there will be passengers, not on every sailing, but there will be some passengers on some sailing that will be diagnosed with COVID. You know, we've seen previous sailings that were false positives. Then we have positives that turned into negatives. That as a result of testing. But the reality is that there's no way to make anything 100%. It will happen, and it's just a question of how well they can minimize and mitigate the illnesses and the passengers, and how quickly they can get them off the ship, and so that the rest of the passengers and the ships are not negatively impacted for the duration of the cruise. And I could tell you that I know that the cruise lines are working diligently to try to make the experience not only safe for the passengers and crew, the ships, but also the ports that they're visiting. But it's going to take some time, and they have to go and continue to progress with the realistic notion that there is no magic vaccine, that we are going to be dealing with COVID for whatever period of time. And they have to figure a way to minimize the impact, inconvenience, to the passengers on board.
Looking at the Marine Tracker, there are a lot of ships right now that are off the coast of Florida or docked in Port Miami. Will those ships have a leg up on being able to get back to sailing faster than, say, those in the Bahamas right now or laid up in Europe?
Well, the ones in the Bahamas are the same as, theoretically, as the ones that are in and out of Miami and Port Canaveral. They're only coming in to refuel and replenish supplies, and then they all head back out. I mean, there's none that are permanently docked at this point. But the cruise lines, there are only a few, Doug, that would even be in a position to attempt to resume sailings in 2020. So they already have their handful of specific ships that they let's say Carnival and Royal, Celebrity, for example, have already identified which ships that they would plan to do this testing and resume some kind of a schedule, you know, and then heading into 21. So there are ships that are specifically slotted for this testing to move forward.
Well, in closing, an estimated return to cruise?
Hopefully, you know, we'll see something hopefully in December. You know, realistically, I think the earliest we'll see is really January, hopefully January, and, you know, moving into February. And then as these ships, these handful of ships on a handful of sailings progress, the experience becomes better. The process becomes more efficient and simpler. And then you'll have other ships being brought online, and then you'll have other cruise lines that will then, you know, be able to do their testing and then bring their ships online. So it is going to take a while. I mean, you have cruise lines that cater toward a more senior type of a passenger or a more seasoned type of a passenger that, you know, tend to have a longer sailing. So sailings on like Holland and Princess may take a little bit longer into 21 than you would with a Carnival, a Royal, a Celebrity, or even an NCL.
All right. Cruise industry analyst Stuart Chiron, the cruise guy from cruiseguy.com. Also, if you want a full breakdown of this order, you can check it out at cruiseradio.net, as I mentioned earlier. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate you.
Hey, my pleasure.
Before we go, I just want to mention one thing. I had an email a couple of days ago from a listener, and she said that she's been listening for 11 years, which is crazy to me, but she never realized that there was a website until her friend forwarded her an article from Cruise Radio. So cruiseradio.net, in case you didn't realize, we had a website as well. That's there with our day-to-day cruise news stories and also some research articles there as well. Once again, cruiseradio.net. All right, we'll talk to you on Thursday. Protect yourselves and your neighbors, and take care.
During these difficult times for the travel industry, Cruise Radio stands behind the men and women who work so hard to bring our vacation dreams to life. From the captains and crew to travel agents, tour operators, vendors, and port employees, we offer a sincere thank you on behalf of the thousands of guests whose lives you impact each and every day.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.